12:33. We'll read 35 to 37. I said 12:33. 35 to 37. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word, meaning a conversation that produces nothing good, an idle word is a useless word or a thoughtless word. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Let's pray. Father, please help us for these few minutes tonight. Teach us about the little member that boasteth great things. Father, teach us about how we communicate. And Father, may we see that our mouths are connected to our hearts. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us to see a truth from one of your blessed Proverbs this evening. And may we remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, that we've just read. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As a tree is known by its fruit, so our heart is known by the words that we speak. If our words are consistently full of sin and arrogance, if we often speak idle words, useless words, foolish words, then we have a critical heart problem. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he," as we think in our hearts. There's a list of sins that should not be named among you and me as become a saint. Ephesians 5:4 says, among them, foolish talking or jesting. We ought to have a fervent desire to speak, communicate, and conduct ourselves in a way that exalts the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings us to the text of Proverbs 15:28, one verse of Scripture, Proverbs 15 and verse 28. The book of the Proverbs, chapter 15 and verse 28. Solomon writes, "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." So the mouth or the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. And so questions for you and I, and I ask myself these questions and I like to read the Proverbs often. Are you and I hasty, thoughtless answerers? In other words, we answer quickly. James says we need to be swift to hear and slow to speak. So are you a hasty, thoughtless answerer? Or do you answer and speak only after thoughtful consideration and instant prayer? In other words, do we pray before we speak? In our Proverbs, Solomon's teaching us how we ought to converse and communicate as Christians in the world, how we should react when someone asks us a question, how we should express our opinions on matters of importance or on matters that aren't important. Of course, Solomon speaks in the Ecclesiastes. He says there is a time to speak and there is a time to refrain from speaking. Sometimes it's best just not to say anything. Every word that we speak should first be thoroughly vetted in our minds by thoughtful and wise consideration before we speak every word. Now that's going to take some discipline. If we are going to speak like children of God, we must first and foremost think like children of God. Because remember, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if we are going to speak like children of God, we must first and foremost think like children of God. And if that is going to happen in yours and my life, Colossians 3:16 is a must. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. The wisdom part is a must it must be connected with the words of Christ. If it's not, then we just have scripture memorized by rote. It doesn't do anything for us. And so, brethren, remember, if we're going to speak like children of God, we must first think like children of God. Consider this before you speak or answer or give your opinion about something. What is my answer saying about me? In other words, what I say. What is my answer communicating to others, and what is it saying about me? Who am I representing when I answer or speak? Who am I representing? Am I representing me, or am I representing the kingdom of Christ? How will my words represent the kingdom of Christ if I'm going to answer? Will my words exalt the name of Christ, or will my words bring reproach to the name of Christ? Am I being salt and light in what I am about to say? Or will I be turning those that hear me away from Christ by my words? Remember, Jesus says, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. If our tongues would be governed, controlled, and tamed, and remember, James says, no man can tame the tongue. There isn't a one of us that have the ability to tame it. It is a world of sin in it. So the only one that can tame the tongue is God himself. And so if our tongues would be governed, controlled, and tamed, our hearts must first be supernaturally changed by God and by the new birth. We must be given a new heart. But even after the new birth and a new heart is given to us, even then our hearts and minds are in continual need of being changed and being renewed by the power of God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we need to continually be being transformed. This is not going to happen automatically. So back to the text, the heart of the righteous, or the heart of a believer, studieth to answer. Studieth is thoughtful, considers, muses, ponders. Before we speak or answer any question, we must think and muse upon what we ought to say. Remember, your words and your answers represent the kingdom of Christ. If you desire to do what the Word of God commands, you must first purpose to obey what the Word of God is teaching. So, if you have a desire to speak like a child of God, remember, you need to be able to think like a child of God. And then you have to desire to obey what God is commanding. And then, most importantly, you must pray that God will enable you by His grace to do the very thing that He is commanding you to do. And here He's commanding us how to speak. It's not just going to originate here in the voice box. It's got to originate in the heart. Because the mouth speaks the language of the heart. And so whatever is in our hearts, that's what's going to come forth. Back to the text of the Lord Jesus Christ, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man from the evil treasure bringeth forth that which is evil. So our hearts are going to dictate how we communicate, how we speak. Christian growth and maturity. In fact, back to that text, before I go there, Matthew 12:33, I think it is. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good. In fact, turn back there for a minute as I think about this. Yeah, Matthew 12:33, before the text, the Lord says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. So Jesus says, if the tree is going to be good, it's got to be made a good tree. And so just a thought there. But listen, Christian growth and maturity comes by grace, first and foremost, by prayer, by practice, and by obedience to the Word of God. comes by grace, by prayer, by practice, and obedience. We need to obey the Word of God by faith. Even when we look at it and we see, I don't have the power to do this. We look at things and we say, I don't have the power to do this. That's where prayer comes in. We say, Lord, enable me to do this. I need your grace to do this. It's so hard. I fail so often, especially in matters of the tongue. Especially when I speak too hastily. God will enable us. Listen, godliness within and speech that is full of grace is not just going to happen automatically. It's not just going to happen. Listen, we have examples of eminent saints reacting and speaking without due consideration or prayer and sinning with their lips. Y'all know them all too. We won't turn to them. You can look at them later. But remember Moses? It says in Psalm 106, I believe it's Psalm 106, he spake unadvisedly with his lips. When he smote the rock, remember that? And God says, you're not going into the promised land. So we see Moses spoke unadvisedly with his lips. David sinned with his mouth after Nabal insulted him. Remember that? 1 Samuel 25. Somebody insults you and you want to fire back. No, no, no. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. So if you want to get in a big fight, just fire back. A soft answer turneth away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. Contention. So we see Moses, an eminent saint, spoke unadvisedly with his lips. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, put your swords on, boys. We're going to wipe out Nabal and his house. And if it wouldn't have been for the wisdom of Abigail coming down to meet him, with a bunch of clumps of raisins and some applesauce, he was going to kill everything that pertained to Nabal, all of the males, but he didn't. And then also Peter spoke in haste after Christ said, I'm going to the cross to die. And Peter said, pity thyself, is what he said, basically. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense to me. So Peter spoke before he thought. He did that quite a lot. Proverbs 14:29, look at it. Proverbs 14:29. Listen, the way we represent ourselves the most conspicuously in the world is how we speak. 14:29 says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly, hasty of spirit. Man, we need to, look, I'm preaching to myself here. Proverbs 29 and verse 20. You'll see a few different passages that read similar to this. In 29:20, Solomon says, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? And this is it's an amazing thing to consider. Because he says there's more hope of a fool than of him. So think about what he's saying. A fool he's got more hope than someone who speaks hasty in his words. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. But let me show you a good example in Nehemiah chapter 2. You know that example. But we'll just read it. Nehemiah 2 and verse 1. Nehemiah had a very important question asked him by the king, by Xerxes. Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. Verse 1, at the latter part of verse 1, it says, now I had not been before time sad in his presence. To be sad in one of those monarchs' presence could mean to have your head taken off. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of the heart. Then I was very sore afraid. Then said the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city of the place of my father's sepulchres lieth in waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? And right there, before he answered, he said, so I prayed unto the God of heaven. So he prayed right there in front of the king, silently, in his heart, before he answered. What an example for us. He asked him a question, and he's standing there, and he probably said, "Lord, please give me the courage to answer the king honestly." Within his heart. He didn't pray that audibly. I think he prayed that within his heart. And after he said that, after he prayed, it says, "And I said unto the king." So he prayed silently. Nehemiah also in chapter 5, in verse 1, what happened here, we won't read all of it, we'll just start in verse 6, but what had happened is in Jerusalem, many of the people didn't have money to keep their lands and their properties up, and so there were certain rich Jews among the people that made them servants and took their lands, and there was no way for them to get them back, and that got Nehemiah so angry because they weren't helping out each other as brethren. And it says in verse 6, "And I was very angry when I heard their cry in these words." And before he answered, though, because he was going to rebuke the people of Israel that had done this, it says, "Then I consulted with myself." He considered. He said, "You know what? Before I rebuke them, I need to make sure I do it right." He says, "I consulted with myself. And I rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said, 'You exact usury, every one of his brother.' And I set a great assembly against them." Of course, they goes on and they released all of their brethren. But we could see a good example in Nehemiah. Brethren, the words of our mouths, the answers that we give should demonstrate the wisdom of God that is in our hearts. And then let us learn from what is written in Nehemiah, that before we speak, we should pray and we should consider. And listen, this is a Christian discipline. This is something that we need to practice. We need to ask God to help us to do it each day. Because every day that we go out into the world, we represent ourselves by how we communicate. It's how we conduct ourselves and how we communicate. Look at Proverbs 10:19. I'll show you, we'll go through a few passages here. Proverbs 10 begins the contrasting proverbs, and they speak wisdom in themselves. These are good to commit to memory. Proverbs 10:19 says, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin." In other words, in the multitude of words there is sin. You speak too much, you sin. "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." In fact, the proverb says, even a fool, when he holdeth his lips, is esteemed a wise man. So even a fool. So it's the beginning of a fool becoming wise. So if a fool holds his tongue, he's wise. Proverbs 15:2 says, "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of foolishness poureth out fools." I want you to notice about the fool, it doesn't say they use their language properly, but it talks about them pouring out. In other words, they're verbose, always talking. 16:20 of the Proverbs says, "He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise," notice, "the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips." That's what we need. The heart of the wise. See how the heart is connected to the mouth? "Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, health to the bones." And in 29:11, of Proverbs. And here's one of those passages that goes along with Proverbs 10:19, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin." It says here, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." We keep it in. In other words, we don't have to say what we think we need to say. So often we just need to, "I just need to say it." And you know what? We'd be better off not to say it. If we feel like we have to force our way into a conversation, we just shouldn't be talking. Well, you say, well, I want to say something too. If you can't interject something wisely, it's better that you not force your way in. I do that. I end up forcing my way in. Don't force your way into a conversation. Proverbs 4:6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Goes back to the text, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer of every man that asketh you of the about the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And so, brethren, we need to always have our hearts ready. That's why it's so important that we have a steady diet of the Word of God. That's why we should be taking in substantial truths and thinking about them. There's so much written about the tongue. We didn't even go to James. There's so much written about how we speak, how we communicate. You see the sins of some of the most eminent saints by the things that they said with their mouths. Well, the latter part of the proverb, the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. When the heart is not right, there is no telling what will come out of the mouth. But one thing's for sure, it will pour out evil things, even from one of us who are saved. I'm just going to go to two passages, Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 12. I really wanted to major on the heart and the mouth of the righteous. I don't need to teach really about the mouth of the wicked. We know what that is. We've had our own experience with it. And we know what it looks like. We know what it sounds like. I don't think that you really need to be instructed about that. Ecclesiastes 10:12 says, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. The lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words, and a man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? So listen, brethren, what we say with our mouths is the language of our hearts. What we say with our mouths is the language of our hearts. And I will close with a worthy prayer for every one of us to send up to the throne of grace before we step out into our day or before we enter into any conversation. Psalms 19:14, David closes and says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And back to the text. Let us remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even in the book of Ecclesiastes, the scripture says, curse not the king, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. And so, brethren, this is a heart. Listen, when our hearts are right, then we'll think right. And when we're thinking right, we're going to speak right. We need God to give us the grace. And we need to pray as you read the book of James, chapter 3. Read James 3, 1 to 8. Talks about can a faucet or a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? And that's what happens to us. We bless God and we curse men. So James says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. And so, brethren, pray and ask God for grace that you might have a tongue that's always seasoned with grace and that we would be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, James says.